Today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Network and sponsored by Buck, Naked Onions, and Sunrays. Snack with impact.
Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Network, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand insights, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from the San Francisco Bay Area and Indianapolis, Indiana, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain. Now, here are your hosts, Dan the Produce Man and Ross the Produce Boss.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Friday after Christmas. Dan the Produce Man here with you, along with
Ross the Produce Boss. And Dan, man, it's a special day. I mean, we are recording this before Thanksgiving, but everyone's
before
listening.
Before Thanksgiving? We're
recording this before Christmas. Get my holidays straight here. You know, it's a lot going on these days between presents and meal planning and everything. I hear you, brother.
It's all right, man. Yes, we're recording before Christmas, but you're listening after Christmas. But the good thing about it is you can celebrate Christmas all weekend long. And Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah this week as well. So Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, folks. From the Fresh from the Field Friday.
Why stop there? I may as well go Happy New Year, because you know the next time they listen to us, we'll be in 2025.
And it ain't no jive. All right, so there you go, folks. Happy New Year too. All right, hey man,
we're gonna throw it all in there.
Hey, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, right on, man. It's the way to go.
It's the last. Fresh from the Field Fridays for 2024. Can you believe it? What a year.
Yeah, and you joined officially. You've always been a guest and
supporter.
Co-host and supporter. And guest, you joined
fill-in.
Officially in, was in
July.
July. So it was great to have you on board here. You know, Ross and I, we're some of the produce media's hands-on produce guys. We, you know, Ross grew up on a farm. We both worked retail since we were kids, wholesale. Yeah. We inspected on the docks as produce came in. We merchandised, wholesale, retail, home delivery, all these things. We have had our hands on it. So we are podcasters in fresh produce that have actually had their, again, I guess I gotta say, hands on the produce all throughout our careers. We're not benching from an office or some other place.
But I think we're both very passionate about it. So, I mean, we both love everything about it, passionate about the industry and everything you do. I mean, you know, I think about back, my wife was actually talking to a friend today, and she was like looking for cranberries, and I'm like, you know what you do, you always stock up on cranberries after Thanksgiving, throw them in your freezer. Yes. I know when I was a produce manager, I would buy an extra 10-20 cases, and I'd talk to the frozen department manager, be like, hey, can we put these in your freezer and just, you know, find a spot for them in the freezer section and sell them, because after Thanksgiving there was no guarantee you'd have cranberries to Christmas. But a lot of people this time of year like to put cranberries as a, you know, in a drink.
Sure.
They want to have a little, you know, as a little drink garnish and stuff. So it's those kind of fun things, and, you know, just what makes it passionate. I was also, you know, talking to someone about citrus lately, and they've been stocking up on mandarin specific halos. And I was like, well, a couple stores I've been at this weekend, I actually bought sumos because the sumos looked way better. I'm not a fan of mandarins when they're, you know, 36, 40 size, you know, those real small ones. I like 32s, 24s, 28s, the larger ones. I don't want to peel it and have one bite. I want to peel it and have multiple bites. So the sumo stood out to me. They've had great flavor right now. So I've probably bought 4 or 5 bags in the last week, and I've been enjoying one a day. So,
well, you know, that's interesting you would bring that up. I used to buy, when I had my store, we would sell sumos, but we would also, I would buy from this citrus guy, and I've mentioned him before. He would bring oranges and, you know, different mandarins and things packed in banana boxes. He'd put them in bins, but he'd pack them in banana boxes for me. It was just easier to stack. And it's probably illegal, I don't know. But we would get the sumo, the decapon mandarins that didn't make the sumo cut. You have to have that shape, you know, that...
Yeah, what do you knot. You gotta have that top knot.
Yeah, that bell knob shape. And the full color all the way around to be a sumo. So you have to have that form. Otherwise, it can't be packed in there. What happens to everything else? Well, he used to bring them to Dan's Fresh Produce, and we would sell them on the stand. You know, people, a lot cheaper than you'd sell sumos for. But, you know, the sumo is a nice piece of fruit. It just is really good. It's sweet. Absolutely delicious.
And, I mean, I think that's part of what has kind of really transpired and changed with the retail industry over the last 5 or 10 years, where things have to be more perfect. It's more about appearance, not always just about the nutrition and flavor. So there's had to become different markets and different avenues for the grower shippers to move that product, because, you know, the retail has become, I think, way more picky than it needs to be. I don't know if that's just because of the consumers and what's going on, but, you know, you used to be able to take some more of a misshapen or a little bit of a bell pepper that didn't have, you know, four perfect sides and different things. And so, you know, you've had to find different avenues and channels to move that product. And so that's what grower shippers have to do, because at the end of the day, the more money they can get for every piece, you know, from, you know, the avocados that go from, you know, on a tree, you know, they need to find an avenue for every size avocado on a tree. So to maximize their return to be able to be still farming in the next year and profitable.
Absolutely. And that is the supermarket way. And that's fine.
That's where Misfits was born, was because of that problem in, you know, in the industry. So,
well, you know, I way before Misfits, I think they're the ones that bought Imperfect Foods. Is that correct? Way before Imperfect Produce existed, I was selling, you know, avocados with limb rub and some apples with limb rub and different varieties of things, or, you know, like that sumo example, items that were not just super pleasing to the eye, but I had my own, you know, it was my own place. I could do what I wanted. So I would cut that stuff up, man, and I would give it to the customers to say, okay, do you want to go down to the supermarket, you know, down at the shopping center and pay, you know, X amount of dollars, or try this, taste this. Oh my God, it's fantastic. But I have a love for underdog looking produce, because I know what is good and what's flavorful, what's going to taste good. I can take a apple that's all scarred up, and I can show you the difference between the two and the flavor between the two.
It's just like having mini or a pepper in your fridge that all, you know, starting to get a little wrinkly on it. You just saute it up. I mean, it's still got nutrition.
That's true.
Got tons of stuff. So I think that kind of goes into one of the things we wanted to talk about, was some of the top selling items that we saw for 2024. I know we saw some social media trends occur, you know, with the, you know, you always give me some grief about it, Dan, but the social media trends that occur and stuff, you know, with the cucumber frenzy and talking to Anne Marie last month and what that did for cucumbers for the last, you know, number of months of the year and all those kinds of things. It's kind of crazy how those trends and social media really blow up and make different things happen. I mean, recipes to produce to anything. It's crazy. So,
but, and then we get a recall on cucumbers after they get that popularity. We get the recall.
It's always something. So, but again, at the end of the day, everyone's trying to keep fresh produce fresh, safe, and good.
Oh, so, I mean, of course,
recalls are going to pop up. You just got to make sure that you know about them and you're informed about the situation, because it doesn't mean it applies to every cucumber. It just was certain things. And, you know, when anything that there's a recall, sometimes it gets overhyped and creates some situations in our industry. But, you know, there's a reason for it. It's to keep people safe at the end of the day. And, you know, whatever you see on the shelf, you should have very should have good confidence in it. I mean, food safety today is way more advanced than it was, you know, when I first started in the department. I mean, there's all these protocols, and it's no joke. I mean, I feel for some of these people that are food safety managers, what they go through, and, you know, all of the testing and everything that has to happen along the supply chain.
The record keeping is
oh, it's incredible.
In the facilities at times, now that food safety programs are more prevalent and better accepted. But boy, when we first started out with those 20, I mean, they've been going on for a long time, but 25 years ago when I was put in charge of food safety at a specific company that no longer exists. Well, it was part, it got absorbed into my responsibilities at Webvan, but the record keeping was crazy. And the folks who worked in the departments were like, you know, what are you doing, man? What the heck? We're trying to do our jobs. Why are you throwing all these things onto us? And there was resistance, but there's a reason for these food safety programs, and they are effective. Oh, yeah. And they do work. And
companies go out of business over food, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of companies that have gone out of business, and grower shippers. I mean, it's you can't mess around with the food safety and supply chain. So
that's someone we'll get on here. We'll get a food safety expert to join us after the first of the year sometime and to come onto the program.
Well, I mean, another thing we were talking about too was price trends. I mean, you'd sent me some articles, and looking at things, we've definitely seen a lot of inflation, food inflation be hot topics this year. I know retail has definitely been, as I've been working with our, you know, retailers and stuff that we deal with and companies, that they're feeling the pressure out there. There's a lot of discussion about food inflation, shrink inflation, you know, and you sent the article about eggs. And I mean, that's been a yo-yo of pricing this year on eggs. I mean, you go from, I mean, at least in the Midwest here, you could be $2 to $4 to all over the place. I mean, from even just from retailer to retailer, it can be a $2 swing.
It's a 37%, the 37.5% increase in price over 2024. And that's, and then it's a loss of, I'm reading from an article, 2.8 million egg-laying birds in Utah, Washington, and Oregon. 101 million birds since 2022 have been put down because of that bird flu.
Well, and there's also been a decrease in the supply, and I think with everything that's been going on, I mean, even I don't eat eggs, I rely on plant eggs, and I've seen the price of, you know, that go from $5 to $6 to $8 this year. So
plant
even,
eggs or eggplant?
Plant eggs. Made with mung beans.
All right. Gotta love it, man. Plant eggs made with mung beans. Wow.
Yeah. It's a good substitute. So, you know, we have some food things going on in my family, and we used it. I've made a casserole twice with these plant eggs, and it's been gluten-free, dairy-free, and egg-free. And it comes together pretty good. So
yeah, I've used vegan egg replacements in baking before. There was one called NRG Egg Replacer that I've used in the past when I would have guests that, you know, wanted the pumpkin pie but couldn't have the eggs. So, well, that's great. Mung beans. Well, there you go, folks. Plant eggs, not eggplant. Or eggplant with plant eggs. Who knows?
I don't know. Maybe if you blend it up enough, you could use it as a substitute, Dan. I don't know that I'll be the one to try that, but I'll let you maybe take the first crack at it.
Oh man, yes. Boy, I was a little slow, but man, you saved it. All right, real quick before we take a break, what are you wearing here, Ross? What are you wearing?
Well, I mean, we'll put some videos out there, but I've got my guac shirt, you know, guacking around. And then, then I got my Brito, our fresh hoods. My buddy Patrick Kelly got me turned on to these hoodies years ago, and I've got a number of them. This is kind of like my... look like a suit one here, you know, so I look dressy, colorful. But I'm very comfortable. You know, it's pretty chilly here in the Midwest. We did some Christmas stuff over the weekend, went to the Carmel kind of German Christmas mart, had some sausage with a lot of onions and sauerkraut on it. There was a lot of good things. I did ice skating this weekend.
Oh, wow.
With the family. So place was packed, but it was cold. So
yeah,
we're staying warm around here.
Well, it's good. That's a very loud sweatshirt you have, but very, very groovy.
Yeah, the lining of it's super soft. It's very comfortable. So
yeah, it looks like it. All right.
So anything else on trends or items you saw this year? I mean, we saw berries really pick up. I think the fruit category did pretty well, definitely drove some sales. I mean, cherries had a pretty good season. It's
stone
overall,
fruit.
It's been pretty good. So
here's something that I have right here right now that I really love. Okay. Now, you talk about how you don't want to peel something and fool around with, you know, have one bite out of it. Here is two items. This is a lime quat. This is a mandarin quat. And Ross, you don't have to peel them.
No.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
But you do have to wash them.
Oops. And they do have seeds. But I don't want you to hear
my chewing.
I can see
that juice. I can see that juice is coming out of it. So
yeah, and the lime quat's the same way. These have very bold flavors. They're not sweet pieces of fruit. But Benzler mentioned last week, T. Benzler mentioned the cocktail grapefruit, which is a very sweet piece of fruit. And so these are some of the specialty citrus items that I enjoy this time of the year, right into about February when they start to wane. But that's a couple of items there. And I also have a little bit of memorabilia here. This is a... I don't know if you can see that. The red doesn't come
Washington
through.
Apple.
This was a Washington Apple campaign. Let's see. There we go. Several years ago. And for some reason on camera, that light is not red. But in real life, it's red. It's blinking red. So anyway, look, folks, stay after Christmas.
You got a lot of stuff behind you too there.
Yeah, well, okay. So I doubt if Sunkist can ever do this again. I used to hang that in my store. That was a very early, a mid-1980s promo. They used to send, the marketing departments and the different produce companies used to send a lot of POS to the stores. Do you remember that? That you could hang up for the different displays. And that was one of them. There was several others. I have a smaller version of that, too, that they sent. It's in a frame. But I would grab the stuff after we were done using it, or if they sent extras, I would just grab it. I have a lot of it still, old POS.
Well, you remember, we're talking about citrus and memorabilia. I mean, I remember around this time of year going through pallets of those wooden Darling Clementines, you know.
Oh, gosh, those little five-pound crates?
Yeah.
Man, I know.
The little net over it. I mean, I probably still have maybe a couple of those boxes lingering around my house somewhere that I held on to.
Oh, but sure.
You don't see those anymore. You know, they've really gone by the wayside.
These are old orange crates, citrus crates. Well, this is 11. Silver Moon is the label on that. And then this is an old apple crate, Gravenstein apples from up north. So yeah, I have a bunch of stuff in my garage, and Patrick wants it all when I die. Dan, make sure I get that stuff when you crook. I said, all right, well, whatever my kids don't want, you can have. So,
well, why don't we hear from one of our sponsors, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit about kind of Thanksgiving holiday shopping and then 2025 outlook.
All right. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
I love grapes. Whoa, what's this? Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, sun rays. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package packed so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sunray's grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place.
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact.
All right. So you have some trend information for us. What happened during 2024, which it still is, but not for long.
You know, we had Anne Marie on from 210 Analytics right after Thanksgiving, and recently her November report came out, and some of the things in that report talked about the impact of the Thanksgiving holiday on produce sales patterns, the shift in consumer shopping behavior towards the holiday purchasing. You know, some were moving away from being so far in advance and to being right there. And then, you know, online shopping and its impact. We talked a little bit about how that was definitely decreasing. You know, perishables in retail, different departments, meat, produce, deli, bakery are super important. You know, that perimeter of a store is really what sets a tone. I mean,
sure,
you can get so much of the grocery department online these days, you know, subscribe and save or whatever. But I think consumers are still really interested in the perishable departments and going into a store to do that shopping. You know, it's those are where people, I think, make their decisions on where they're going to go to shop. I mean, I know for me, I do. And, you know, you've talked about the same thing, Dan.
Absolutely.
About where you go depends on those perishable departments, because you can buy the groceries anywhere. I mean, you can go Amazon, you can go Walmart anywhere and get a can of whatever. But you know, for the produce to shine, the meat to shine, you know, all those kinds of departments, you know, that's really where you're going to go. And that's where you're going to spend your money. I mean, that's sure. Where people fill their baskets and all that. I think, you know, it's all important. There's definitely been some challenges in the supply chain, different things this year with inflation, shrinkflation, and there's a lot of optimism for 2025
as we
look ahead. So.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of the center of the store, the FDA has just updated the definition of the healthy, quote, healthy, unquote, claim to align with current nutrition science in the dietary guidelines. For us Americans, foods must now meet specific criteria, including limits on saturated fat, sodium, added sugars, and to be listed as healthy. So there's a lot of it. You know, they're trying to combat chronic diseases. And look, we've said this a million times, and you don't have to be a nutritionist to know this. You know, eat that produce, eat the fresh foods.
Well, so I recently have had the fortune of talking with a couple of our friends' families. And they both have hosted foreign exchange students in the last few years. And some of the comments are about the food, just the food comparison of what we have here in America versus what is available in the rest of the world, as far as portion sizes that were given at restaurants, the quality of a lot of the foods, you know, being vastly different from other parts of North America. I mean, even just differences in what the ingredients are that are allowed for us to buy in the United States versus just our neighbors to the north, Canada. It's crazy what was allowed here. So I definitely think there needs to be some changes. There needs to be some conversation. There needs to be a lot of education. And I think we're seeing more of the younger generations be more aware, but it's vastly different of how breads are made here and pastas are made here to what is done over in Europe. And you know, the big thing is looking at those ingredients and looking at the portion size. It's what has really, I think, changed things, not for the better here in America.
No, a lot of ultra processed foods, high fructose corn syrup. We go on and on and on and on. You consume that stuff every day. And a lot of folks have made that a way of life.
You know. It's cheap and easy, but it's not good. You're paying for it in the long run.
Right. And then you're going to have to take a bunch of drugs that get prescribed to you, and then you're just all screwed up. So, you know, eat it fresh, folks.
And I'm doing the clean eating challenge through Viva Fresh right now. And, you know, we're all supporting one another through the holiday season. And there's a lot of education that I'm picking up this year, just about different things to do. There's, you know, trends on social media, you know, even as far as like seed oils and stuff. And it's right. just, there's a lot of information, but is it all accurate? Is it misinformation? Is it good information? That's what people have to educate themselves on the backside to really, you know, you can see the stuff on it, but anyone can post anything on social media. Doesn't mean it's the truth.
That's true. And there's so much coming at us as well. Look, we've had snake oil salespeople since the beginning of time, and they're here now, and the internet is prevalent with them. So, and there's, see, you know, a lot of these folks on social media, this is all they care about. Clicks and likes. See, Ross, and I know you know this, I don't care about clicks and likes. I could care less if nobody watches anything that I put up on the Instagram or YouTube or Facebook. I'm grateful for the people that do. But I'm putting it out there as here's this information based on my experience, and this is what I'm sharing with you. And if you like it, you like it. And you don't, you don't. But I don't. I'm not doing things for clicks and likes. I don't care. I really don't. So that's the difference. A lot of folks, that's what they're doing, and it's nothing yeah. different than what we used to get on the radio with what's called shock jocks, that would come on at morning drive time and do this shocking stuff to get, you know, people to listen. And then you get more advertisers, and you know that's how the game works. It's, you know, it's all done for money. So.
Well, on a different topic there, since, you know, we are in Christmas week, what do you got going on for Christmas? What's on your Christmas menu?
You know, I ended up with a second turkey, so I'm gonna cook that a little bit differently than the way Thanksgiving is done. It'll be small and quiet, and definitely some, I got some root vegetables. Some celery root, some parsnips. I got some giant purple carrots. I got I have sweet potatoes, stokes, and I think I bought garnets and the copper ones, Beauregards, yeah, or jewels. No, not jewels. Anyway, sweet potatoes and some turnips and things of that matter. Greens, collard greens, which I love. That's about it. Pretty mellow for me.
I was at a retailer over the weekend. They had two watermelon bins lined full of collards.
Oh, nice, very nice. Well,
but yeah, we do some stuff on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve has always been more formal, so I've got we're doing a ham and then roasted potatoes and green beans. It's kind of the mains, and then on Christmas Day this year, I'm smoking some meats. We're doing more of a barbecue theme for Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of smoking on Christmas Day, I'm going to have a really big La Flor Dominicana that I'm going to smoke on Christmas Day. And a La Flor Dominicana, and here I am talking about eating healthy, and here's my one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to have a big, fat La Flor Dominicana. And I'm gonna enjoy every.
It's the holiday season. You gotta have a little bit of love, man. You can't be perfect. You gotta enjoy it. January will be here before we know it. You're gonna be living, fulfilling your New Year's resolution. It's gonna be a lot of salads and healthy eating come January, and then those that continue past January then are a little bit more successful in the new year.
That's true, folks. If you continue past January, and you keep on going, pat yourself on the back. You are awesome because you stick with it. You stick with something, and you're just going to feel a whole lot better. That's
well, I've been enjoying the regulars at the gym these last few weeks, and I'm not looking forward to January when it's going to get busy for about 4 to 6 weeks. And, my routine will be a little bit messed up, but you know, I'm still going to be in there doing my thing. So.
Yeah, good for you. Good. Keep it up. You know, my gym is here at the house, but keep it up.
I mean, it's cold here. So, I mean, it's getting from the car to the gym is kind of the worst part. But once you're in, they got a nice track, plenty of machines, pools, steam room, sauna. It does the body some good. So,
well, I got to say, with that, Ross, you're talking about getting from the car, you know, from the house to the car to the gym. And the feeling you have after you're done working out, there's just nothing like it. It's so interesting because when I was doing P90X, I had my store, so I would go home and do P90X in the garage. I did that, and I did Body Beast. And I'll tell you, before that, I used to go, and I would get in my pickup truck, and right around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, you're down at the produce market at 4 o'clock in the morning when you have a store like that. So I would go get my pickup truck, and I would go park in front of the park, and I'd take a nap. But then,
for how long? 10 minutes, an hour, 2 hours.
Sometimes
the next day.
It'd be about 40 minutes. But I heard someone say something one time. If you sit in a chair and you hold your keys, here's my keys. You can't. You don't need to see them. You sit in a chair and you hold your keys. And if you doze off, once your keys hit the floor, it wakes you up. That's all you need. It's very interesting. But I would sleep for about a half hour, 40 minutes. But then when I started doing P90X, instead of doing that nap, I would go home, I would work out in the garage, and I would come back to the store, and I would have more energy. I would be feeling so good that it was, so what I'm saying is you're talking about, yes, a lot of folks do that. I just got to get to the car and get the car to the gym and get in the gym. But if you can, a lot of folks say, well, okay, I'm not going to do that today, or I'm going to find another excuse. But if you put your mind into that feeling you have after you work out and how empowered you feel just all the way through, then that's a good habit to put yourself into.
Well, and I mean, we all have the smart devices nowadays. So you set your goals on it, you know, and it's a good way to check it off. So at 8 o'clock at night, you're like, oh, I didn't hit my goals today. You know, by noon I can have hit the goals that I have for the day and
perfect
activity and all those kinds of things. And you're just setting yourself up for more success. And, you know, I think if you leave it to later in the day, there's more excuses that come about as to why you didn't get to do it, why you didn't make it there. So it's good things. And I think, you know, to the point of adding more fresh produce, whether you're doing it in a juice, in a supplement, you know, there's all sorts of different ways to get it added into your diet. You know, 2025 is going to be here. It's another year to really look at your body, look at your health, and set yourself up for the future. I'm trying to take more of that mental thought press now and be more aware, you know, through the clean eating challenge, you know, okay, making decisions, you know.
Sure.
You know, if there's a pizza there and you want to have one slice, have the one slice. Don't feel bad about it. It's not going to blow you apart, but, you know, one slice is better than having five or three. So you gotta allow yourself a little bit and, you know, and take the small wins. It's not all or nothing.
Sometimes when you crave something like pizza or something, and you're doing like you're doing the clean eating challenge, you could actually take that pizza, that slice of pizza, and take one bite, chew it very slowly, enjoy it, set the piece down, and do something else. And 9 times out of 10, you won't even go back for the rest of that slice because you've been satiated by the flavor, by the craving from that one piece. And, you know, and again, we're not saying deprive yourself, but I'm just saying that is also a little psychological trick that you can use on yourself to, you know, to have that, get that flavor. It's like Lay's potato chips. Remember, no one can eat just one. That was the commercial. And, you know, if you eat one potato chip and then you put that bag away or whatever it is, and after a while, you've satisfied.
Yeah. How many flavors of potato chips are there nowadays? Oh, it's crazy all the flavors they've put in it to attract consumers. It's gotten almost wild.
I still like only one, and that is plain, regular old potato chips and not kettle cooked. Thin, like they used to, like Humpty Dumpty potato chips used to be when I was a kid. But anyway, that's that. Well, Ross, you know, we've had a little chat here around the fire today.
Yeah, 2024 is coming to an end. Next time we'll be chatting, it's going to be 2025. Crazy to think how this year has flown by and everything we've done, the fantastic guests we've had and conversations and everything we've learned. It's been cool.
Yeah. We thank all our guests, our sponsors, and you, our listeners, for a great year. And we're going to thrive in 25 because it ain't no jive. Right, Ross?
Oh, yeah. You got it.
Get on down. So, all right, folks. Well, we want to thank Sunrays, and we want to thank Buck Naked Onions for being our sponsors. And be sure to check out the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube and the Produce Industry app. You got to have that. Download that now on your smartphone, on your Ross.
Watch.
Where's your watch, Ross? You usually point to your
watch.
I was
holding my phone. My watch is right
there. There we go. Okay, on your watch. Hey, got to see that watch every week on your watch, wherever you can download apps, folks. It's a great resource, and you can definitely listen to the podcast on that app as well. And be sure to check out the History of Produce series with John Papp, the Global Fresh series with Juanita Gallo. It's all right here on the Produce Industry Network. And be sure to check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at dantheproduceman.com.
And look for me, Ross the Produce Boss, on YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn. And I will be out and about in 2025 attending some events, kicking off the year, trying to showcase what happens in the produce industry through my lens.
Awesome. There you go, folks.
Hey, Dane, stay fresh, keep growing, and let produce lead the way.
Oh, yeah. Until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man and Ross the Produce Boss. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Spotify for fresh weekly episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Network and at Dan the Produce Man and at Ross the Produce Boss. Until next time, we'll see you in the fields or on the horizon.